Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real as Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Paige Yates
and Taylor Yates.
And in this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
How you doing, Mom?
Good, thanks, T. How are you?
Good, thank you. Anything new with you?
I've been kind of curious and enjoying researching tiny houses.
Okay, tell me more.
So there are people that, as you know, live in these kind of portable houses. You know, they're very well put together. They're kind of like fancy trailers. Yeah. But more importantly, I've been looking on Instagram and Facebook and some of these websites where people are making more and more tiny houses.
Yeah.
And they're in wonderful, exotic places. I'm dying to kind of travel and see what some of these are like. But it's been interesting to look at them and see where they can compact usable space.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I'm curious about them. I'm intrigued by them. And I have gotten some clever ideas of a bed that when you look at the wall, it's a desk and a bookshelf, and then it falls down, it becomes a Murphy bed and is the bed. So I'm like, wow, in that space, it really, other than the fact that you have to bring the bed up and down every day, it's amazing because it really functions during the day the way you need it, and then obviously at night. So I'm intrigued, and I've been kind of doing some looking at these tiny houses, and I think people should look more at them. It's kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah. You know, a guy I went to college with was on one of those tiny house reality shows, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. He doesn't live in it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I think the premise is good that, hey, maybe we don't need to live with so much stuff, right? Kind of that Marie Kondo philosophy. And maybe our houses don't need to be as large as they are. But you take it to the nth degree, and basically what stopped them from living in that is they had kids.
Right.
You know, and so
it's more intriguing to me kind of as a adventure.
Yeah.
More of a place that you go and stay.
Like live in one for a month or something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or
that is cool.
I was watching a TV show set in Amsterdam, and there are a ton of people that live on boathouses.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I could see that could be a valuable experience, both in minimalism, because it's going to be small, or kind of what do you really need and what's important for you to stay someplace.
Yeah,
but I'm intrigued by these alternative places to stay.
Yeah, do you think you need flood insurance for a boathouse?
Don't think so.
Or I guess boathouse or houseboat?
Houseboat.
There we go.
I think
it is, yeah. All right. Awesome. So we're continuing our discussion of holiday decor this week. So how to make your home feel extra cozy for the holiday season. So let's talk about lighting choices indoors. Okay, so how do you think about lighting for your holiday decor?
I think it's really, you know, there are a lot of people that use their fireplaces and have boughs of greens and then have little mini lights in them. Or you were talking about jars with fairy lights in them.
Yeah, that other episode, yeah. I'm with you. I think it's kind of different about winter holiday decor is the total amount of light goes down a little bit, like what people are looking for. So obviously, you know, the rest of the year, I've got lights with dimmers and those dimmers are on full, right?
Right.
Every time, when it's sunset, lights go on. But in the winter, you know, a lot of your holiday decor incorporates light into it, right? So like a Christmas tree is a classic example, right?
Or softer light, right?
So you want to soften that ambient light to allow those things to pop.
I also think, too, you mentioned dimmers. And I think people don't think about adding dimmers to certain rooms in their house.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very inexpensive to do it. And it creates just this incredible change of vibe in a room. Because with a dimmer, as you said, with little kids, you've got them full speed ahead.
Yeah.
A dinner party, you might go, I don't want this. I want a little bit more ambience and warm lighting. So I'm going to, in fact, use my dimmer. And that is something in home ownership that is worth adding to your light switches.
Yeah, I agree.
Easy fix, as they say.
Totally. And yeah, like you said, it's not an expensive fix and it adds so much utility to your house.
Correct.
How about scents? So how can holiday scents such as like cinnamon, pine, or vanilla enhance your home during the holiday season?
So I think you either like the smell mm-hmm. that comes with greenery.
Mm-hmm.
I know that since I've now, which I said I would never do, I now have gotten a fake Christmas tree. I am using that bar of soap that smells like evergreen underneath it to kind of bring in some of those winter scents.
Yeah.
I think that some of those scents can be great. I think the cinnamon, some of those things that people like. I do think that scents can be distracting. I think commingling lots of different ones in a setting doesn't really help any one of them.
Right. You gotta make an artistic decision and stick with it.
Correct.
Yeah.
I laugh every time I open up my Christmas ornament box and there's the soap that's supposed to smell like boughs of evergreens.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a bar of soap. So.
Yeah. So I hear you. I think it's the thing about scents you gotta be mindful of is it is super easy to overdo it. I mean, I used to get Trader Joe's sells these cinnamon brooms. They're supposed to hang on your door and they smell like cinnamon. I don't get them anymore because I'm allergic to something in them. So, but I loved them when I had them, right? Because I love the smell of cinnamon and I love the smell of pine. Vanilla is a little bit of a weird one for me because it's never really like, there's not like a thing that anywhere near here that gives off like a natural scent of vanilla. And I know it's a little bit true for cinnamon too, but I just feel like cinnamon's such an aromatic spice. You smell it a lot if you go to coffee shops or something like that. But yeah, absolutely. Don't mingle them. Don't overdo it. Pick one, you know, a scented candle or one scented bar of soap or one scented broomstick and call it a day.
The other thing to mention in trying to make an environment in your home cozy is texture.
Tell me more.
Well, for instance, maybe a tablecloth that you use put on an eating area, mm-hmm. or you take one wall and put up some sort of vinyl, even for the, you know, I don't know if you've seen, they now carry these wallpapers that actually stick on
to
a wall. And so I've seen them in college dorms where they literally put wallpaper up and then at the end of the year it comes down.
Oh, yeah.
So for those people that might have small spaces and you don't have a lot of decorative options, mm-hmm. it's great because you can make a wall that has flowers, you can do stripes, you can do, so you can add a little bit of a theme going on and create something that's got a wow, like one wall becomes your wow.
Right.
So I think that texture, wallpaper, it can be on the surfaces, it can be on walls, it can also be in curtains or blinds. Yeah. It just kind of creates a little bit of warmth to a space if it's all one color.
Sure. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back for the audience question. Did you know that Paige and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs, too. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today. So this week's question is, what's your opinion on scented candles at an open house? Is it added ambiance or a red flag? It's a red flag to me.
Me too. I have to say that I am not an advocate of scented candles during an open house. One, I go in and go, okay, what are they trying to hide? Hide.
Yep.
And two, I've actually found people that come in at an open house and they're turned off by a certain smell. Yep. Like somebody says, I'm allergic to lavender and you've got a lavender candle and throughout the whole house, you've got this overwhelming smell that someone is turned off to.
Right.
And I think that impacts how they look at the house.
Totally. And I think at this point, if you've got a halfway smart realtor, they know that scented candle means that there's a smell there they're trying to hide. So if, you know, if you're selling a house, just air it out for a couple hours before your open house, because everyone's going to know what you're up to with that candle.
I think two things that people can do if they really want to go back to the traditional sell your house type smells and what's inviting is homemade cookies are always good.
There you go. Yeah.
Or,
and then you've got a goodie for all the open house guests.
You do.
Yeah.
And then also there are people that have put cinnamon and cloves water on a on your stove, kind of heat them up. And there's kind of like that little bit of holiday.
Yeah, it's like a mulled wine thing.
Yeah, it's like exactly. Right. Those two things I feel have been successful. The candles make me
nervous.
Think twice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yeatsboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yeats Team Boston.
That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you like this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yeats Team Boston or on the web at yeatsboston.com.